Song of Solomon. And we're in chapter number 3 this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. And when you find your place, let's all stand together in the reverence of God's Word and read God's Word together. Or I'll read it you aloud and you read it in your heart. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. And we're going to continue the way we've done. We're going to read the entire chapter down to the verse that we're going to be preaching from. And we'll do that each service. Verse number 1, Bible said, "By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, 'Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?' It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. And I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till He please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant?" What a statement. What a statement. Who is this? Who is this coming out of the wilderness, perfumed and powdered, and like pillars of smoke? Who is this? Who can it be? This glorious sight that we now behold. Who is this that's coming out of the wilderness? Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for these few moments to preach the Word of God this morning. Now I pray that You'll anoint this unworthy servant. God, that You'd let me stand in a holy place under holy oil, rightly divide the Word of God and preach this book with power, with great grace, that it might heal the hearts, that it might bless the soul, that it might stir Your people. Lord, with the oil of God, that it may anoint them with the oil of gladness, they may rejoice in what's theirs in Christ. I pray that You'll help us to catch a fresh vision this morning of Jesus and Him crucified and the Savior of our soul. Help us to see ourselves this morning as Jesus sees us. Bless every heart, save old sinners, for the glory of God. Bless the hearers of Thy Word here and those by the radio. And Father, I'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. That may take me just a few minutes this morning to get into our thought, and I hope that you'll bear with me. But the Bible said in verse number 6, that's where we'll draw our thought from, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke and perfumed with myrrh and frankincense with all powders of the merchant?" I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me, and I believe that He will. And I'll not tarry as long as some of you think I'm going to, but I want to try to preach for a little while on "Here Comes the Bride." We play that song when a bride and a bridegroom are united in marriage. And I tell you, we sound the trumpet to let everybody know that the bride is making her approach to her groom, that they may go into the chambers of love together and there spend eternity together, embraced in holy wedlock and love. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, that is the picture of the church of the living God today. He has sounded the trumpet. "Here comes my bride." And we are united in holy wedlock. She has been perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. She has been to the merchant man and got all the powders of the merchant. and looked at her countenance and behold her. For she takes on the appearance of pillars of smoke. What a glorious sight this must have been as the bride came forth out of the wilderness. Now, I've got to go back and recap for just a few minutes if you'll let me. And I don't want to wear this out and run it in the ground. We've been there for several weeks. But in the preceding verses 1 down through number 4 at least, we find there that the church is in a bewildered state. She is living in the absence of the manifested presence of Christ. Now, church, we're always in His presence, for He dwells in our bosom. But I say to you on the authority of that book that His divine presence is not always manifest when we come together in our assemblies. And she wakes up in her bed in verse 1 and at night and suddenly realizes that He whom she loves is gone. And she sets out on a diligent search to find Him. Now, I want to say that it'd be a wonderful day when the church realizes that our Beloved is gone. I'm honest. His presence is not being divinely manifested as it ought to be when we assemble at the house of God. I tell you, He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to preach deliverance to the captives, the healing to the sick and the sight to those that are blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But my friend, it is a sad day when He does not show up in the assembly to accomplish the work that God's called Him to do. And she awakes on her bed and suddenly realizes that the bride is not, that the groom is no longer there. And she makes a diligent search. She looks on her bed in the night season. He's not there. She's complacent. She's cold. She's dry. She's lifeless. But He's not there. She goes out into the streets and looks there. And there she still can't find Him. And in the broadways also, and He's not there either. But a little while after she passes the watchman, she suddenly finds him who her soul is delighted in. She finds her Beloved. And the Bible said she would not let Him go. Brother, she hung on for dear life. Lord, help us to find You and by a heart of faith hang on to God and do will not ever let Him go until we have brought Him into the chambers of her that conceived us. I trust that you were saved in an old-fashioned Baptist church down yonder in the birth chamber at the house of God. And my friend, you ought to want to bring Christ to the house of God that others may experience the same birth and deliverance that you have. And if you ever find Him, hold Him. Don't let Him go. Bring Him to the church where we can all enjoy the blessings of God. That's right, Brandon. She found Him. She would not let Him go. Now, we're going to have to take a minute here to interpret that verse of Scripture. For after she's found Him, she gives a charge to the daughters of Jerusalem that they await not her Beloved. She charges them by the rose and by the heart of the field that they do not disturb nor awake Him until He please. And then all of a sudden, the Scripture changes and we find somebody coming out of the wilderness perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and all the powders of the merchant. And the appearance is like pillars of clouds or cloudy pillars. Now, who is that? My friend, we're going to have to compare Scripture with Scripture in order to find that out. But in chapter 3 and verse 7, or in chapter 8 and verse 5, rather, the Lord Himself says, Who is this that cometh from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I want to say to you, my friend, if you ever find Him in the wilderness of your wanderings, He'll bring you out of that wilderness, leaning upon the strong arm of your beloved. And so this is not the Lord Jesus who is coming out of this wilderness. Amen and amen. Now, don't you leave me for just a minute. Somebody said, who is it then, preacher? Well, I believe we find here the daughter. It's not Christ. It says in verse number 7, behold His bed. He's not talking about it. Behold His bed. It's somebody else in verse 7 talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the context, I've got to believe that it is the daughters of Jerusalem, whoever they may be. And they see a most unusual sight. They see the church coming out of the wilderness as cloudy pillars, my friend, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and all of the powders of the merchant. Somebody said, preacher, where are you going? I'm trying to get you out of the wilderness this morning. Amen. Here comes a bride. I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, it's not the daughters of Jerusalem there, and neither is it the groom there, but it's the church of the living God that is coming out of the wilderness, my friend, like cloudy pillars and perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and with the powders of the merchants upon her. It is the church. Yes, sir. And she has been in the wilderness. Now, no wonder the daughters of Jerusalem are amazed. For they've been observing her. I want to say something to you this morning. There's somebody out there watching you. And they're watching exactly how you're going to conduct yourself. I say this in love to these folks that are here from Bible Baptist. You mark it down in your little black book that the devil's crowd, or even some of God's people, are watching you, and they're going to mark well how you conduct yourself through this trial that the Lord has allowed you to go into. What I'm saying is that when the bride in verses 1 through 4 went out in a wilderness wandering type way, there were onlookers watching her, and they saw the bewilderment upon her face. They saw the distress. They saw her puzzled and wondering where God was in her life. And some of them probably said, she'll never find God ever again in her life. Are you staying with me? Yes, sir. Brother, I'm telling you, we live in a cruel world. Amen. And we live amongst a bunch of sinful people. Amen. That will take every pop shot at you they can. Yes, sir. Well, yeah, I was told that one of the members at Bible Baptist, somebody asked her, said, what do you think about all these people that are leaving? And she said, well, they went out from us because they were not of us. Now, I'm going to tell you what that'll do to some of you folks. It'll cut you at your living heart. But I'm going to tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd get on my feet this morning and shout to victory and thank God that He brought me out from a bunch of sinful devils that no longer wanted old-time Holy Ghost Bible preaching and no longer wanted the presence and the power of Almighty God in the church house. I'm going to say they don't want it. They don't want it. And they're watching you, friend. They're watching you like the Jews did Nehemiah. Sanballat and Tobiah said, what will these feeble Jews do? Will they worship God? Will they rebuild the walls? Will they raise the temple that's already in rubbish? That's what they're saying about you. My, we've got the building. We've got all of the building and all the glory of the building. My God, let them have the building. You can have all the buildings you want. Give me Christ. Hallelujah to God. I'd rather have Christ under an oak tree, bless the Lord, than to worship in some of the finest mausoleums in all this world, bless your heart. Let them have the building, the debt, and all goes with it. Go out and serve God. Here's the bride in the wilderness. Here's the bride in the wilderness. And don't be too alarmed, for no doubt she was led there by the Lord. Huh? But that crowd, they said, who is this? Why, we saw her go in to the wilderness, but she doesn't look anything coming out like she looked going in. What can be the problem? Why, going in, she was like a woman had been married 40 years. She went in with rollers in her hair. Hadn't brushed her teeth. Still had on her old pajamas she wore to bed that night in an old ragged house coat. I'm going to tell you, hey, church, I'm going to tell you, oh yeah, friend, we can get to looking mighty pitiful. Yes, sir, you get to wandering in the wilderness without God. You become a pitiful looking sight in the eyes of the world. My friend, and they'll look down on you and condemn you. But I tell you, don't worry about it. That's God's way of bringing glory to His name. For they look down on Him just exactly like they're looking down on you. They said, my God, who is this? When she went into the wilderness, her hair was a mess. She had that old yeller duck butter in her eyes you get when you get up in the mornings. And she wasn't clothed. Had bad breath. She had slept all night. Didn't have on any sweet smell. She stunk a little bit under the armpits. But my, who is this? Who is this that's coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke. And perfume with myrrh and frankincense. Oh, the powders of the merchant. This cannot be the same gal that went into the wilderness. Oh, yes, I'm telling you why it can be, is because somewhere out there in the wilderness, her and her beloved got yoked up together. And my friend, he gave her all of the perfume, all of the powder and power that she needed to get out of the wilderness. They got yoked up out there. Can you imagine how pitiful the nation of Israel looked as they walked through the wilderness for 40 years? And the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Hittites said, look at that little ragtag outfit. Aren't they pitiful? Who do they think they are? They're an absolute mess. My God, they think they've got God on their side. You know, that's what the devil's thinking about us right now. That little old crowd, yeah, they got God on their side. But I tell you, there's always been a remnant. God has always had a little crowd. He's always been in the minority, and He's always had a handful, my friend, that wants to serve Him, and they've always been looked down upon and despised by the world around them. Always. Been looked down upon. They've been the off-scouring of the world and looked down upon. Can't be the same gal. You know what? They wandered that 40 years in the wilderness. But my friend, at the end of 40 years, Moses, a man of God, died and God called to Joshua. Yes, sir. And when Joshua said, we're going over this Jordan. And I'll assure you, my friend, when they walked down and the priests put their little pinkies down in the brink of the water, and the Jordan stood up on a heap that they might walk across on dry land. I'm sure the Canaanites were standing on the other side, and they had the same language. Who is this? Who is this that's coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke. I can smell them before they ever get here, and they've got a fragrance that is delightful to my smell. They have been to the apothecary. They have received the powders of the merchant. My God, they're well. They look different. Oh, church, that's my prayer. Will thou not rend the heavens, O God, and come down that the mountains might melt under your feet? That your people once again might rejoice in ye.
Amen.
That the power of Christ may rest upon the church. That our enemies may be put to flight. That those that look down upon us, my friend, may be put to flight and Christ may be glorified. You and I can rejoice in the divine holy presence of God. Will thou not, O God, perfume us and powder us and give us the appearance of pillars of smoke that the world may know that there's a God in heaven and that God rules in the universe and He dwells amongst His people to bless them, to help them, to supply their need. Somebody said, Preacher, what all do we need to win the battle? Jesus.
Amen.
Now I told the people, Brother Fletcher, just I'm going to tell you this. If you're not willing to roll up your sleeves and fight, go home. Because I'm here to tell you we're in a fight. And only the brave are going to make it through. It's not going to be any place for cowards. Only the brave, my friend, will make it. Yes, sir. No little cowards and chickens.
Amen.
I heard a preacher making a fool out of himself day before yesterday morning. I'm talking about a preacher now, supposed to be a preacher. And he said, oh, I've studied on the love of God so much, he said, I could just about become a conscientious objector. And I thought, you wimp, spineless, noodle-backed, lace on your panties wearing, egg sucker that wouldn't know God, my friend, if he walked out in front of him. I'm telling you, knowing God and His love doesn't make me want to sit back and become a conscientious objector. It makes me want to roll up my sleeves and fight hell with all I got. And if that means protecting my family with that M16 over there, so be it. Now, I hope I don't upset your little apple cart. But I'm not a conscientious objector. I enjoy my liberty in America. God wasn't a conscientious objector either. I'm going to tell you what He done, friend. He took the kingdom from Saul because he was noodle-backed. God told Saul, said, go down to the Amalekites and slay them all, including Agag. But he wouldn't do it. But an old man of God took a sword, an old man of God by the name of Samuel took a sword and hewed Agag in pieces, but in delivered Israel. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You're not ready for a fight. Son, I'll tell you, we're in the wilderness looking for our Lord. And it's going to be a battle. There's a war raging. You need to roll up your sleeves and get into the spiritual battle until you find Him in the wilderness and come out of the wilderness leaning upon the strong arm of your beloved. Now I'll tell you, the world will wonder at you and say, bah, who is that coming out of the wilderness? Oh, here comes a bride, son. Coming out of the wilderness. Now I've got 3 points and we're going to the house. I want to say, first of all, when she come out of the wilderness, that her calamity had ended. Woo! Now, some of you need to get a hold of that. She had been in the wilderness for 4 verses. I don't know how long that was, but son, that she had been without Christ in her life for 4 verses in the Bible. I don't want to be without Him for a second. You talking about being in a... Have you ever hunted for something you couldn't find and it just about drove you nuts?
Amen.
I'll never forget a few years ago. Now, y'all listen to me now. I'll never forget a few years ago we went to Mexico. Miss Hall, nine, some other folks, Miss Ruth was with us. We got into Mexico on midnight and Monterrey had lost the soccer championship that night. There were literally thousands upon thousands and thousands of people in the streets. Waving batons. Police waving batons. Folks standing up on top of automobiles and others are driving them while they stood on top of them. Volkswagen convertibles full, people running in the streets, and we're there at midnight. And we start looking for the Hotel 88 and don't know where it's at. I finally find the McDonald's and I said, "Sir, can you tell me where the Hotel 88's at?" And he said, "Bobbly, I'm talking about being bewildered. Not knowing how to find my way to where I wanted to go. That's exactly how the church was here. She did not know how to find her way to where she wanted to go. We drove and headed down this boulevard that had four lanes of traffic, man. I mean, there's a barrel. And I said, we went a long way. I said, we're going the wrong way. I said, I'm going to turn around and get in them other lanes over there and go back. And there's a big tram overhead of us in Monterey. Probably 12, 14 million people. And I'm a boogieing down that street and come to a turnaround. And I make a left-hand turn, look to my right and see nobody coming. So I start to make a left-hand turn to go back and pull out into the lane. And it's four more lanes of traffic going the same way we've been going. And a car said, "Ah!" And my wife said, "Oh, no!" And down in the floorboard she went. Are you listening to me? And we drove and we drove. And I am not lying, buddy. I'm not lying. I've come to the point when I finally said, "Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to lose it." I was frustrated. I was bewildered. I was looking for rest. I was looking for peace, a place to lay down, a place to take a shower and get some rest. I could not find it. Been traveling all day and all night. I was worn out. That's the man. She's worn out. Couldn't find him on the bed. Couldn't find him in the street. Couldn't find him in the Broadway. Couldn't find him at the Watchman. But I kept on going. I was frustrated and bewildered. Buddy, finally I said, "Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to lose it." We went up over a little old hill and I looked and somebody said, "Look, preacher, at that sign." And there was a sign that said, "El Hotel 108. And I said, "Thank you, Lord." Peace and rest. And we pulled in and found peace and rest. I'm going to tell you, that's the way she was. Frustrated and bewildered, and the world knew it. No doubt some pointed her finger and said, "God's gone!" But oh, two verses later, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness?" She finally made her way out of the entanglement. Her calamity is over. She's found victory in her life once again. That's the way some of you in here this morning. In a calamity of life. I think of Ricky and Kelly. Had a little baby laying in the hospital. Brother Mark and his wife over there trying to get their home fixed and trying to do it a little at a time on Saturdays. Trying to get away, trying to move closer to church so they can get backwards and forth to church. And there's others in here. And I'll be honest, I think of the folks that's here from Bible Baptist. You think they're not in a calamity, son? Some of them have been under Bill Nolan for I don't know how many years. I think Judy's been under him ever since he started Bible Baptist Church. He's known her since she was 16 years old. And now the shelter, are you listening? The shelter and the safety that she knew is gone. That's what I'm trying to say. The shelter and the safety that the church knew is gone. She's in the wilderness of wandering. But oh my God! Whoa, my Lord! She found Him in the wilderness. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? It's the bride! Here comes the bride! She found her belonging! Hallelujah! Her calamity is over. Her exit from the wilderness. Her exit. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? She's making her exit. Her calamity has ended. Now I want to say that she's being conducted by the Holy Ghost. Whew. Somebody said, "Preacher, where do you get that?" She's like a pillar of smoke. My friend, the only other time that I know there was a pillar of smoke was when it was a cloudy pillar that led the Jews and by daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And both of those pillars were representative of the blessed Holy Ghost that's in our life. He was leading. He that leads was leading her out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke. Hallelujah to God. You know what Paul said in Romans 8:14? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now I'll tell you, my friend, God, through the Holy Ghost, will lead you out of your wilderness of wandering. She was being conducted by the Holy Spirit. She came out in the sunlight of His love. Listen to me now. Are you listening? I hope to goodness you are. Can somebody tell me where she first started looking for Him at? Where was she at, Brother Mark? On her bed. What does that bed represent? What do? When we go to bed? Why do we sleep? If you're like a normal person, if you're like Jerry and Andy, I don't know when they sleep. But normal people sleep at night. It tells me that her search started in the night. But it don't say she's coming out by pillars of fire. She comes out, she looks like a cloud of smoke, a pillar of smoke. Friend, she might have went into the wilderness in the darkest hour of her life. But she came out in the sunlight, in the daylight of the love of God. She found darkness, her light shining in a dark place for her soul. I hope some of y'all is listening. I hope so. I want to say secondly, not only being conducted by the Spirit did you come out in the sunlight of His love, but her affections at that point had been set upon Christ. Her affections for Christ had been freshly kindled. Oh, yes. That smoke, where does smoke go, neighbor, when you turn it, when you set a fire? Goes up. She's like a pillar of smoke. Her smoke was ascending upward. That means that somewhere there in the wilderness, that in determination of heart, she set her affections on things above, and her love for Christ was rekindled, my friend. Are you listening? Oh, and that smoke ascended upward. Her heart had once again been set aflame for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Colossians 3:1-2, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Amen. Out there in the wilderness, her heart had been reached, her fire in her heart had been rekindled, and she came out with her affection set upon Christ. That wilderness is not always the worst place to be. It'll show you the other side of the coin. There's a head and there's a tails, folks. There's two sides to the coin. I'm going to tell you, the best side, the right side, is to be walking in the sunlight of God's love in the divine presence of His love. Amen to God.
Amen.
I want to say thirdly, that out there in the wilderness, she became a living sacrifice for Him. I wonder if that pillars of smoke may have represented the whole burnt offering that was offered upon the altar. That is to say, my friend, that somewhere out there she had made herself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And she's coming out of that wilderness saying, Lord, I'm dying, O Lord. All that I have is Yours. I'll burn for God, not the world, not the devil, not possessions, not power, not money. I want Christ. I give myself to Thee, O God. And I'm a whole burnt offering. I'm Yours. We sang that old hymn, I'm Thine, O Lord. I have, what does it go? I'm Thine, O Lord, I've heard Thy voice. And I give myself to Thee. So I wonder if we really do. Holy. I wonder if we're not trying to hang on to a little bit of the world. If we're not kind of like the mixed multitude. She's coming out of the wilderness and separated herself from the world. That's right. When she came out, those daughters saw her obscure, saw her kind of obscure in her state in this world. That's why she was pillars of smoke. her outward. Hey, all they saw was her outward crosses and afflictions. They said, look at her. She's rather glorious, but she still looks like pillars of smoke. All they saw was the hard times. Folks, that's all most people ever see in Christianity is the hard times. The crosses they bear and the afflictions that they bear, that's all most folks ever see. They never see the inward joy, the inward peace. They never see the glory of Christ on the inside. For what is our hope? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. God help us today. Amen. I want to say that in her exit from the wilderness, not only was her calamity ended and she's conducted by the Holy Spirit, but she is also cloned with the fragrance of Christ. Please don't leave me right here. I think some of you is about to give up hope this morning. If you do, you're going to miss it. She was cloned with the fragrance of Christ. Let me give you this. Myrrh is bitter, but it has an agreeable odor. She was perfumed with myrrh. Somebody said, well, it was bitter, but it had an agreeable odor. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, the Christian life is a bitter life to live sometimes. But it is agreeable to our Lord. For as our Lord suffered, so are we called upon to suffer. And if you're not willing to suffer a little bit for God, go home and join the Mormons. That's right. This life is a bitter life. When the Passover lamb in Egypt, when they partook of that Passover lamb, it was with bitter herbs and spices. The lamb was wonderful to their taste, but the bitterness of the herbs, my friend, represented the hardships and the trials of this life. And they're going to be there. They're going to be there. But I'm glad, thank God, not only was it the myrrh, but it was frankincense. Now, Strong says that frankincense is also bitter. A double bitter life. Somebody said, I don't like it. Look at the other side of it. Hey, the world saw the bitterness, but they also saw the sweet. Frankincense is bitter, but they used it, my friend, to make perfume. Some of the finest colognes in the world contain frankincense. It adds such a wonderful fragrance to it. And I'm going to tell you what Christ is saying here, my friend. The myrrh and the frankincense both represent Christ and His sufferings, both bitter to Himself and yet a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. But on the other hand, they also represent the suffering life that you and I are called upon to live. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me when I tell you this. I'm honest. I don't want your sympathy. But all the time we've been at Brother Fletcher's, in fact, for about a month now, times comes on me right in here, feels like somebody's got a knife in me. One of my old enemies may be trying to spiritually stick one now. I don't know. Right under the fifth rib, buddy. I'm talking about my fifth rib. It cuts sharp, takes my breath at times. Now, and I don't enjoy the Parkinson's. It's just slowing me down a little. I'd normally be jumping the pews in here, but you've got to understand, I have already preached 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times this week. This makes 11 times this week I've preached. Somebody said, are you dead? Feel like I could run a mile, bless your heart. But hey, Paul said, I'll gladly take a thorn in the flesh that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with people today. They're not willing to walk through the fire, suffer a little persecution, suffer some bitter trials and afflictions, whether in the soul or in the flesh, that we may have the fragrance of Christ upon our life. I'm telling you, we'll never be Christ-like until we suffer like Christ did. Oh, we won't be like Him. Do you really? They crowned Him with thorns. They spit in His face. They blindfolded Him and smote Him on the head and said, prophesy!
Tell us who it was. He went to his own city of Nazareth, preached in the synagogue, and they threw him headlong down a hill. He was rejected and despised.
Amen.
He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you really want to be like him?
Amen.
He was nailed to a tree.
Amen.
And while hanging there, his murderers walked around the cross and said, if you're the Christ, come down. You saved everybody else. Why don't you save yourself if you're who you say you are? One of the thieves on the cross said, if you're Him, save yourself and us both. And I'm going to tell you what His disciples did. He was forsaken by all. Do you really want to be like Him?
Amen.
Being like Him may mean that you have to become friendless. And that your enemies may be more than your friends are.
Amen.
You may have to become deserted. But I'm going to tell you why He done it all. He went through it all that He might die. I'm going to tell you that if you want to be like Him. And He's running you through the meal today and you know what in the world is going on. He's doing it that you might die. For except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it fall in the ground and die, it'll bring forth fruit to God.
Amen.
You won't be worth a flip to Him until you die to yourself. That's what He's trying to do, is kill you. He wants you to die with Him.
Amen.
Are you listening? Somebody said, well, preacher, why did He go through it all? For the joy. For the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross and despised the shame. And my friend, He is now set down at the right hand of God.
Yes.
Now I'm here to tell you, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you are of all men most miserable.
Amen.
I stood and looked over my uncle's grave on Wednesday. As they set his body out over that hole in the ground. And I thought to myself, if we in this life have hope in Christ only, we are of all men most miserable. Friend, are you listening to me? The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall follow.
Amen.
Oh, what glory.
Amen.
I was telling these men out here this morning, it's a blessing to see these folks here this morning drive all the way down here to hear me preach. And I hope I can say something to help them. And I couldn't help but think, old Mike back there, I've been preached to Mike when he was 9 years old in the junior church over at Brother Nolan's. And he's still there.
Amen.
It'll be worth it. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race. Till we see Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, friend. We keep running it. One day we'll see Him and they'll sound the trumpet and the tune will play. Here comes the bride, son, and the saints will go marching into the presence of the throne of God. Oh, it will be worth every mile of the way. Every trial, every heartache, every disappointment, every sad minute, and I'm telling you, every friend that we've made, every enemy that's ours, it'll all be worth it.
Amen.
We get to the other side. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this. Her calamity was ended. In her exit, her calamity was ended. She was conducted out of the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. She was cologne with the fragrances of Christ. But she was cured of all of her sickness.
Amen.
Now, don't leave me right here. That word powder, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant. Do you know that I looked that word powders up? And this is the only place in the whole Bible that is used in a positive way. Can I give you the definition of it? Powder is a substance reduced to fine particles and used for medical purposes. I don't find it used anywhere else in all the Bible except in a negative way. I find in Exodus 32:20 that Moses took a golden calf and ground her into powder and strung her upon the water and made Israel drink her money. You reckon he's talking about the powders of the golden calf? You don't reckon some folks in here are still trying to worship a golden calf? And in the wilderness, God, in your wanderings, God is trying to grind your golden calf into powder for you. By the way, the merchant here is Christ. Second Kings 23:6, that the grove. Now, I don't know how they accomplished this, but the grove that was in the house of God, not around it, in it, they had brought their worship of the goddess Ashtaroth, a worldly god, into the house of God. Oh, nobody leave me now. What are you saying? I'm saying they were trying to worship the world and God at the same time. You can't have both of them.
Amen.
And in the revival, I believe it was under Jehoshaphat or Josiah 1, ground up the grove into powder. Maybe God wants to grind your idolatrous powder or idolatrous grove.
Amen.
The world, maybe He wants to grind the world into powder. That you might be cured of your disease. One other time and I'm done. I find in 2 Kings 23:15 that they took Jeroboam's altar and they ground it to powder. The altar at Bethel. Now, I'm going to say this, and I hope it don't offend nobody. And if it gets back over there, so be it. I don't edit my tapes. I don't say a thing that I'm ashamed to say. Now, I don't edit them. There's been two or three I've confiscated. But I don't edit them and be a hypocrite. But they took the altar at Bethel and ground her into powder. And the altar at Bethel was an altar, an undesignated altar for the people of Israel. For Israel to worship God at, and it become an altar of Baal. Are you listening to me? Baal worship. They were called on to worship in Jerusalem, and Jeroboam became king of Israel. And he said, oh, if I don't do something, boy, they're all going to leave me. Stay with me. And I'm telling you this morning, my friend, that crowd over in Sellersburg are going to try. They're going to try. We're going to have to do something, or they're all going to leave this altar of Baal that we've got. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a fool this morning, buddy. They've already been to some of your houses and tried to smooth talk you and everything else to get you to stay at an altar of Baal. I'd get out of that stinking mess as fast as I could get out of it. Now, I know I'm going, hey, marching with Greg Dixon on Monday morning. Greg Dixon is a reprobate. Christ a reprobate. That's the same path that Wayne Adams and that crowd went down, and they lost it all, friend. They lost it all. And that man is not interested in building a church. He wants to put a sign over his head and be recognized by everybody. He let me know in no uncertain terms when we were over there, all he wants is to be recognized by everybody. That's what Jeroboam wanted. Come up here!
Right.
Go
ahead, preacher.
You listening? I grind at the powder. And come on out of the wilderness. Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Looking like pillars of smoke. Marching out. Here comes the bride. Who is this? Who is this? It's the purified, perfumed, powerful bride of Christ that you're coming out. We're going out one of these days, folks. We're getting ready to go out. She's about over. And when we're leaving, the daughters of Jerusalem will be standing there watching us, saying, who is this coming out? Dun-da-dun, won't that be wonderful? And I'm going to tell you something. When we go marching down the corridors of the great temple in Glory Land, our Isaac will be standing at the golden altar to marry us, that we might enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as most young grooms do, when that trumpet sounds, and he knows that the bride's getting ready to come down that aisle, he's going to turn. He's going to turn and look. As sure as you're living. Now I'm going to tell you what. He'll get in the angels on the hills of glory. There she is, the bride whom I've redeemed out of all the kindreds of the earth. She's a glorious bride and spotless white, marching down the aisle in the glorious temple in heaven. Here she comes. May all eyes all rise and behold her whom I've redeemed with my own blood. Here she comes. Look at her. Look at her, and my precious, you no longer have to look at me with a veil. But raise the veil! Let all look upon the glorious countenance of the lovely bride of Christ, who made her robe white in the blood of the Lamb and purified herself. She's without spot. And she's without blemish. And all eyes, friend, when we go march, look here. You ever stop and think about this? When we go marching in that aisle, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, friends, not in that bride. They're Israelites. And when we go marching in, oh, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're just as redeemed as we are. But they're going to be standing, I can hear them, here she comes! Yonder she is! Isaac, there is what you've been a type of all these years. I mean, not Isaac. Rebecca. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said in His day. He said kings and prophets and others and even angels have wanted to look into these things that you say and they ain't been able to do it. Oh, what glory. Here she comes. I'm going to ask you something. What are you going to do when He turns His face and looks at you? And you come make eye to eye literal. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm not talking about in a dream. I'm not talking about on LSD. I'm talking about some hallucination. I'm talking about reality. Let me ask you ladies something. Let me ask you men something. How did you feel when you walked up on that platform? Some of you that's here. And I was standing there with the King James Bible. And I said, will you please turn and face each other? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Don't you look away from us. Ooh. Don't belong to nobody else.
Right.
She's mine.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know what the Father's going to say? He's going to say, son,
yeah.
You may kiss the bride.
Thank God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, man.
That was a laughing one. I'd rather have another kind. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
I remember the day that I turned Doug and Lisa toward one another. Tammy and Steve, Ben and Angie. I remember the day I turned Robert and Sharon to one another. And they made eye contact. What glory.
Amen.
Have I married anybody else in here? I don't think I have, have I? Some of you would like for me to marry you, but it ain't time yet. Won't that be a wonderful day?
Amen.
We're supposed to Him!
Yeah.
One of these days. I'm going to tell you something, Glenn. You know what He's going to say? Are you listening? Are you really listening? Better not do this with nobody else. When we march back down that aisle and the rice is thrown and the cheers from the daughters of Jerusalem are waving, Jesus is going to say, now, where would you like to go on your honeymoon? Somebody said, what are we going to do? I don't have no earthly idea, but I know that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for them.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, after we've been there about a million years on our honeymoon, I hope we look better than that egg sucker. We'll say, Lord, Lord, is our honeymoon about over? And He'll just turn another page and say, no, my love, we just didn't start. And we've been there 20 billion years. And is it about over now? Oh, no, no. Look what I've got over here for you. I'm talking about eternity, friend. Well, surely it's over now after 1,700 billion trillion years. Oh, no, look here. Got it one more page here. Get it going again.
Amen.
We'll step from star to star, galaxy to galaxy. Behold the wonders of the firmament of heaven.
Amen.
Will all be ours. Because He's brought us out of the wilderness.
Yes.
We're His. Here comes the bride. Are you in it? Are you saved? You know the Lord. You know that you're born again this morning. If you're not, He'll make the dearest friend that you've ever had. Let us stand together, please. Have a need this morning? Do you have a need? Your Boaz can meet that need. Your Isaac can meet that need. Is there a broken heart? Have you come out of the wilderness? Let me ask you something. Remember what I said Sunday night? Tuesday night? No finding, no chariot ride. The chariot ride may be a week after next on the chariot. You want to take a chariot ride with Him? Look here, He brought her out of the wilderness and spoke comfortably to her and set her in a chariot with 60 soldiers about it. Pillars of silver, royal canopy.
and the bottom paved with love. And he let down the sides. They went off into their honeymoon together. You ready for that today? Father, in Jesus' name, please help us. Help every heart, every soul. Meet every need. Save sinners. I want to thank you, Lord, that you brought me out of the wilderness. Lord, I have victory as far as I know in my heart, and there's nothing between me and thee. I do pray that you'll help this people. Only thou knowest their hearts. Only you can enter into their sufferings and their grief, their needs, their sorrows, their disappointments and discouragements. Help them and give them real grace and comfort and love and draw nigh to them that they might lean upon thy strong arm. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that, Brother George? Page number 3. Page number 3, my Jesus bear. And all the world go free. Let's sing it together as a closing hymn this morning.